haven't done so already, I invite you to take God's word this morning and turn with me to Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And by God's grace, we're going to look at verses 13 through 19. This message was intended for last Sunday, Easter. Due to circumstances beyond my control, I could not be here. And as I was contemplating what to do this morning, I was tempted to put this message aside. And then the Lord impressed upon my heart that it is never a bad time to speak about the resurrection. We do not have to confine a message about the resurrection on Easter Sunday morning. The resurrection is applicable 365 days a year. For those of us that are in Christ, it is our hope. For those of us that are in Christ, it's what we go to. It's the driving force of Christianity. Without the resurrection, where do we find ourselves? What do we have? And so this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 13 through 19, and if we can take just a second to recall what we said two Sundays ago, we dealt with the first four verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and the Apostle Paul was reminding the Corinthian church of what they had, of what they have been given. And they've been given this because Paul himself had been given the gospel. We cannot give that which we do not have. And Paul even calls them in the first four verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he calls them brethren. Brethren, believers in Jesus Christ, the saints of God, and that encompasses all believers, male and female, across the globe. We are, as Paul says, the brethren. And how are we considered brethren? We are not considered brethren because we attend church. We are not considered brethren even when we are members of a local church. We are not brethren because our parents or our grandparents were brethren. We are not brethren because we have been baptized, immersed into water. We are not brethren because we have been through a new member orientation class. We are brethren when we believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by believing that gospel, our lifestyle gives evidence that what we have decided was the real thing. Remember Matthew 7 and 21, my go-to verse. That not everyone will enter heaven just because they cry out, Lord, Lord, but only those who do the will of the Father shall enter. The gospel, as we saw last week, is clearly indicated in verses 3 through 4. And let's be reminded, lest someone ask you to explain the gospel. The gospel is not just some good news. The gospel is not just some word, some fancy word, some theological word that Christians use to fill the void of the sentence that they're proclaiming. What is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? And Paul gives it very clearly and explicitly in the first four verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, for I delivered to you as of first importance. Notice how important this is to the Apostle Paul, and it should be equally important to us among everything else in the midst of every other issue and challenge and situation in this world. The gospel should be of the utmost importance to us. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. Remember, we talked about that. You cannot give what you do not possess. The Apostle Paul received the gospel. Therefore, he was saved. But I also received that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That, my beloved church, is the gospel. Christ and his finished work. So a gospel void of Christ's resurrection is an incomplete gospel. In fact, it is not the biblical gospel at all. To just talk about the death of Christ without including the resurrection of Christ is an incomplete narrative. The resurrection is the completion of the gospel. The resurrection is what separates us from every other main religion on the planet. Confucius is dead. The Buddha is dead. Muhammad is dead. Our Savior Jesus Christ lives. And if you don't have that, what do we have? If you don't have the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then we're no better than the Buddhist, the followers of Hinduism, the followers of Confucius, the followers of Islam. We're no better because we're all worshiping a dead guy. So without the resurrection, which is the title of our message this morning, where do we find ourselves? What do we do? And in your outline this morning, there are six questions and there are six responses. Without the resurrection, the first one is this: where is the value of preaching? Where is the value of preaching? Paul will say here in our text, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. The narrative of the gospel message would simply be that a good moral man that claimed to be the Son of God was falsely accused and died on a Roman cross along with other common criminals. That would be the end of our story, church. That would be the end of the narrative. That would be the end game for us without the resurrection. And I, quite frankly, would not have anything to say. Where is the hope in an unresurrected Christ? What would I be excited about without the resurrection? Why would I get up here Sunday after Sunday, Sunday night, Wednesday, and whenever we meet together to proclaim God's word? Why would I do that without the resurrection? You would ask the same question. Why do you get up for 40 minutes or so on Sunday morning and talk to me about someone who died? And that's the end of the story. Billy Graham and all of his years of ministry would have wasted his time without the resurrection. All the preaching, all the meetings, all the travel, all the expense, all those fools that came to the front when they sang Amazing Grace. A waste of time without the resurrection. Without the resurrection, I would be preaching bad news, not good news. Without the resurrection, guess what? We all die, and that's the end of the story. Nothing to look forward to. Nothing that you don't know already. Sin, death, and the grave would still be our enemy. We would meet the demise of a sinful nature without the hope of a sinless Savior, without the resurrection. Without the resurrection, I'd have to find some other type of employment. Without the resurrection, I would not get excited before I get up to minister and to preach God's word. My preaching would be in vain. You could go to a clubhouse and hear someone speak. You could turn on the radio and hear anyone speak. You could just read a book and get what you needed without the resurrection. But in the resurrection, we preachers preach. But with the resurrection, we preach with power. Not our own, but resurrection power. If I was not convinced of the resurrection, I could not convince you of the resurrection. But just to know that Jesus Christ lives helps me get up in the morning. To know that Jesus Christ lives and was risen from the grave helps me take the next step to deal with what I have been dealing with over the last couple of weeks with my mom. I would have been an empty, worthless shell had it not been for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection, I have nothing to say to you. We may as well stand up and go home. Our preaching is in vain, but also without the resurrection, where is the virtue of our faith? The virtue of our faith. Paul goes on to say that not only is our preaching in vain, but also our faith also is in vain. And vain here means useless or empty. If Christ did not rise, we will not rise. The only way we rise is because Christ has risen. Do you understand? If Christ had not defeated death and the grave, you and I will not defeat death and the grave. Had Christ not risen. If Christ did not rise, we will not rise. Our faith then has been a waste of time. Our faith would not change a thing. Absolutely no purpose and void of effect had Christ not risen. You know, the hall of faith found in Hebrews chapter 11 would be the hall of the absurd, would be the hall of hogwash had Christ not risen from the grave. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Rahab, David, all the prophets, all those that have died before us would have been faithful and died for nothing without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The hall of faith would have been the hall of shame. These people were deluded. All that have come before us, living and dying for Christ, living and dying with the hope of the resurrection, all fools without the resurrection. Without the resurrection, where is the value of preaching? Without the resurrection, where is the virtue of our faith? Thirdly, without the resurrection, where is the validation of our testimony? What do we have to talk about without the hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? What's the topic of our conversation when speaking about Christianity? That a great moral man lived a great life, affected some people, falsely accused, went to the Roman cross, died along with common criminals. Is that the topic of our conversation? Is that the only place we can go? People want to hear about good things. They want to hear, they want hope. They need to look forward to the future. And without the resurrection, we have no future. And neither can we convey that to anyone else. We can't help anyone. We can't offer hope without the resurrection. We can't lead people to Christ without the resurrection. Who wants to believe in a dead guy? What's so special about that? Without the resurrection, we have no testimony. Notice what Paul says here in 15 and 16. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God because we witnessed against God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. Without the resurrection, we have nothing to share. We have no good news for anyone. We may be able to give some encouraging words, some advice based on our own circumstances and our own challenges and experiences, but at the end of the day, at the end of the conversation, what else is there? Is this it? Is this really as good as it gets? Without the resurrection. Without the resurrection, the witnesses mentioned in this chapter, the 500 plus witnesses to the resurrection, all saw something that wasn't true. They were all self-deceived. 500 plus witnesses on that day in the 40 days he was on earth prior to his ascension. All these people were deluded. What did you see? You saw the resurrected Christ? No, you probably saw somebody that looked like the Christ. But was it really him? Because there was no resurrection. His body was stolen, possibly. Or maybe they replaced Jesus with Judas in the tomb. And they stole his body and took it somewhere else. All kind of theories are out there trying to explain away the resurrected Christ. Paul was a liar, by the way, and a false preacher and teacher. That stuff he told the Corinthians in the first four verses, he just made that up to gain some type of platform over the church without the resurrection. Christ himself, by the way, church, would be a liar because he prophesied concerning his own death and his resurrection. Christ is a liar, Paul's a liar. The Old Testament prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all liars that speak about the Messiah being resurrected. The New Testament record of Jesus is a story of lies without the resurrection. If the resurrection is a lie, why believe anything else in the Bible? We may as well take this book and throw it away. We can get similar information from some other good book without the resurrection. If the resurrection is a lie, why believe? The martyrs and their testimony would be a fallacy, useless. Why would anyone die to protect a lie? That doesn't make sense. Why would anyone die to protect a lie? Christianity rises or falls on the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number four, where is the vindication in our faith? Notice what Paul says here in verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. The Apostle Paul builds on what he has already stated back in verse 14. About how our faith is in vain without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Basically, that faith is useless, and if our faith is useless or worthless, as he says, we are still in our sins. We have not been vindicated. We have not been released, acquitted of our guilt, had it not been for the resurrection. We would be no better off than those who refuse to believe in Jesus Christ, we would die, and that would be the end of our story. We would have nothing. We are no better off than the lost person out in the world who does not meet on Sunday mornings. Our life would be summed up in what we have done on earth, and that's it. It's over without the resurrection. We would be like those that Jesus addressed in John 8 and 21 when he said, "You shall die in your sin." Without the resurrection, that's how we go. We would die in our sin, no hope, no future, no acquittal, no vindication, done, over with, sorry, without the resurrection. The Bible says in Romans 6 and 23, the wages of sin is death. And that would be the end of the story for us. And we are all born in sin. We know that. We're from the Adamic nature. Because one man sinned, sin entered into the world. That's the end of the story. We have nothing else beyond that. We're sinful. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. We die, it's over. Without the resurrection. Physical death and spiritual death would be the natural consequence of our existence without the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So our faith, our Christianity rises and falls on the fact of the resurrection of Christ. It's what separates us from every other major religion on the planet. No one else can make the claims that we make. No one. No one has the authority of the scripture the way we have. No one has the historical facts of the historical Jesus the way we do. And without the resurrection, we are hopeless. We're spinning our wheels. We have no purpose in this life and no future in the next. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number five, without the resurrection, where is the victory of the dead? Which tags onto what we just spoke about. In verse 18, Paul says, "Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished." Without the resurrection, as we just mentioned, there is no hope for those who have died. Remember all the time you heard a preacher say, "Oh, one day you will see your loved one in eternity." He lied to you without the resurrection. We can't say that as preachers without the resurrection. That's a false hope. It's a lie. It's a fallacy. It's false information without the resurrection. Without the resurrection, I'm sorry, you will never see your loved one again. But because of the resurrection, those that die in Christ will spend forever with Him. And that's the hope that we have when our loved ones pass who were in Christ, that one day we will be rejoined together in heaven. But I can only make that statement because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every Old Testament saint, every New Testament saint without the resurrection are gone and gone forever, church. No life after death. Without the resurrection, this life really becomes your best life now. Without the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm thankful that this isn't my best life now, amen? That I do have a future. I do have hope. I do have a life to look forward to. And it's because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Finally, where is the vantage of our future? Look with me in verse 19. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. Without the resurrection, we are to be pitied because our faith was and is pointless. Without the resurrection, our vantage for the future does not exist. The lost person, the wicked man, would say, poor Christian, says the wicked man, thought that Jesus was raised from the dead. It proved to be a hoax. It wasn't true. All those years of virtuous living were meaningless. You are no better off than I am. I have chosen to live for myself, and you have chosen to live for him. What a fool. Without the resurrection, of course. How can a dead Savior save anyone? If he can't save himself, where's the hope of him saving me? Christianity would be a joke, something to be laughed at without the resurrection. But, church, Christianity is real because Christ is real. Christianity is real because Christ did rise. And notice what verse 20 says here, chapter 15. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. Because Christ lives, we have forgiveness. Acts chapter 5, verse 30 and 31. Because Christ lives, we are justified. Romans chapter 4, 24 and 25. Because Christ lives, we too shall live. John chapter 14, verse 19. It's always good to be reminded that he lives. Never a bad thing, never the wrong time to announce he lives. And because he lives, as the hymn goes, you and I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. Amen? Have you accepted the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ today? Maybe you've heard my words. Maybe you've heard this message before. You've heard something like it before. And maybe you've never truly received Christ as your Savior and Lord. You have never accepted who he was and what he did. It's time to repent. It's time to repent of your sins and come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ if you haven't done it. Don't be fooled in thinking tomorrow belongs to you. We don't know that. But the future can belong to you if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the one who defeated death and the grave. Are you saved this morning? Let's pray. Father, we thank you.